Talking today with Ryan Goodman. Ryan is originally from Arkansas, and came through Oklahoma State University, Stillwater, for a while, now out in Montana. Give me a little bit of background of where you've been, Ryan.
Yeah, Ron, I grew up in Arkansas in the cattle business, and I'm proud to be a Oklahoma State alumni. Proud to be there, spent a few years in Stillwater, and definitely enjoyed Oklahoma and red dirt country as well. Took some time out in Texas and learned a little bit about the cattle feedlot business as well. But I'm excited now to be in Montana working with a great group of ranchers up there in the northern part of the country. Definitely a different environment than what we may be used to in the south, especially in the cold winters. But it's a great part of the cattle business to learn about and be involved in.
Now, you've been involved really very early on with some of the social media efforts, advocating for agriculture, Facebook, Twitter, blogging, that kind of thing. Why is that important?
Well, I tell you what, it's really important, especially here in the age of real-time media, real-time news, and all of these conversations that are happening online. Consumers are more concerned and talking more about their food than they ever have been. So it's critically important that those of us in agriculture are there in a part of the conversations, because you know we've heard it said, if we're not on, you know, if we're not at the table, not at the conversations, we might be on the menu. And I think that those conversations are definitely going to happen whether or not we're there. So it's critically important that we're there. And I find it inspiring to be a bridge in the conversations between the people that are producing our food and those who are consuming it, and being able to help to facilitate some conversations there and inspire some learning on either ends of the spectrum, that we can all learn more about food and those who are eating it.
Now, we've got some folks right now that are very much anti-agriculture, whether it's anti-animal agriculture or some of our production practices. They're really trying to take some whacks at what we do.
Yeah, there's definitely some groups out there. You know, we talk a lot about PETA or HSUS, but there's also groups who are involved in the food industry who are concerned about the way that our food industries and our ag industries are getting food to our plates. And I think consumers across America are concerned about the food that we're eating and what goes into producing that. And we've done a poor job in agriculture about talking about our adaptation of technology and creating things that are more efficient and helping our family farms and ranches to be more sustainable, and not only to the environment, but economically, to be able to support our families. And I think that that disconnect and that lack of communication from our part has led to some misperceptions out there. And there are definitely some restaurant chains here and retailers in the past few months and years that have taken advantage of listening to consumers and their concerns about food and appealing to those. And sometimes those messages that those retailers and those businesses are putting out are fueling misperceptions in our food business. And so that's created a big table and a big opportunity for us in agriculture that we need to step up, and we need to be a part of those conversations to address those misperceptions and misconceptions and be sure that our perspectives are part of that story.
Now, you know, you're part of the millennial generation, and it seems like a lot of these organizations, the companies that you're making reference to and whatnot, they really are trying to cater to your generation, the millennials, in most cases, and trying to almost stir up some of the thoughts they've got or I guess, questions or ignorance I have about agriculture, about food production.
Yeah, millennials are an interesting generation. You know, we do all of our shopping on Amazon. We want things, and we want it now. Before we go purchase a vehicle, we know exactly what we're going to buy because we go online and we research it. And they're doing the same with food. They want to know where their food comes from, not specifically a specific farmer, but they want to know the processes that go into that. They want to know the story behind it, what goes into that. And there's been a big push for knowing more about that, but also questioning our reliance on chemicals or food additives, and a lot of times food safety processes. And that's concerning because I've heard a few speakers put it, we've been too healthy for too long. And a lot of people don't recognize the value of a lot of the food safety procedures or measures that we have in place. And a lot of times it's processing methods like lean, finely textured beef, you know, episode a few years ago. That's a process that produces a safe product, and we're able to be more efficient, more sustainable, because we're able to reduce waste and provide consumers what they requested in a lean beef product. And there was concerns about there and misperceptions that were created by the media and certain restaurant groups that perpetuated that concern. And that's an example of how agriculture and the beef industry could have stepped up and talked more about the technology that they were using to produce this safe product that consumers asked for. And so we can use that as an example today. And talking about some of our technologies that we've adapted and some of the processes that we use to raise food today and get it to people's plates. And I think that that's really a good example and that it expresses the importance of being involved in those conversations and asking, because that resulted in a lot of people losing their jobs.
Right. Now, you know, you mentioned the fact, you know, that we've got to try to, I guess, explain ourselves on a lot of cases. What can the beef industry, in other words, cattle producers, especially you're working with some cattle producers now in Montana, what can we do to do a better job of relating to the consumer, getting them to a point of where they're comfortable with how we produce beef in this case?
I think one of the really important things for cattle ranchers to do here in our industry is to listen to consumers. We're not doing a very good job of listening to the questions and the concerns that they have. And then once we're able to listen to those things and let them know that we hear them, then we can address them. So if we listen to consumers, they say that they are concerned about antibiotics or the use of hormones or handling methods or housing, so cattle and feedlots. And so one of the really important things that we can do is ranchers, we are a very sustainable industry. You know, we are recyclers. We utilize waste as feeds, you know, and feed crop waste as feedstuffs. And we care for our environment. We're great stewards. We provide a lot of wildlife habitat. And we don't want to use a lot of additives as far as antibiotics or hormones if it's not economically feasible, if there's not a good return, or if it's not good for our animals. If we're not kind to our animals, you know, we know it's not a good business decision because they will not be productive.
Right.
And so if we talk about those daily tasks that we do on the ranch, if we talk about those management decisions that we make in response to listening to consumers and hearing their concerns, I think that that will go a long way. So just being open to the opportunities is a really important thing for ranchers, and being willing to discuss and approaching it, and being sure you're not defensive when you're having these conversations.
Right. Some of your recent blogs have had to do with Chipotle. You know, what obviously they are in that camp. They really question a lot of what we do in production agriculture and animal agriculture especially.
Yeah, Chipotle Mexican Grill, based out of Denver, has made a decision that they want to follow the market trends of millennials. They want to cater to a demographic that is requesting natural food, meaning no additives or preservatives. They want to know more about where their food comes from and how it's produced. And oftentimes they want to avoid GMOs, as was their latest announcement here last month. And that's drawn a lot of attention from media outlets across the country and a lot of negative reaction from editorial boards of some of the major newspapers across the country, saying that Chipotle is ignoring the science, ignoring the facts of how GMOs are produced, how they benefit farmers and benefit the environment and help to grow a global food supply. And Chipotle, I've been following them since 2011, and they've had a long history with their campaign of Food with Integrity. But they lack integrity in their marketing and how they present their product to consumers. You know, they definitely want to present that they're serving, you know, food with integrity and the best beef from small farms. And they've even gone as far in their advertising campaigns to cast farmers and ranchers of conventional production in a very negative light, using a lot of fear in their marketing techniques. And consumers buy that. That appeals to our emotion, and there's enough bits of truth in there that make it seem very plausible for folks who don't have a connection. And I've had a lot of conversations sitting next to somebody on an airplane or meeting somebody at the grocery store at the meat counter who have questions about those things. So it's our roles as beef producers to get out there and find those opportunities and answer those questions that chains like Chipotle are raising about our food. And so Chipotle has expressed that, you know, they really don't have any intentions of having an in-depth dialogue or conversation with conventional beef producers. They've gone as far as sourcing a lot of their beef from Australia, which I kind of question the sustainability of shipping beef, you know, across the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
But, you know, I think that they've shown that they have no intentions of continuing that conversation with us, that they want to continue marketing. And so I think it's our role to step up and speak out and tell consumers that there's a little less transparency than what Chipotle says that they have. And I think it's important that we say that that's a misrepresentation of how we raise cattle here in the U.S.
I guess what that kind of rolls us back around in dealing with millennials, social media, an effective way to try to get that that beef point of view out to them.
Exactly. You know, I said earlier that you got to be present. The conversations are going to happen without us, if you know, with or without us, whether or not we're there. And social media is the place where that goes, whether it be on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or chat forums like Reddit. There's a lot of conversations that are going on out there. People are asking questions and people are talking about our products. And so any time that we can take, whether it be on our cell phones or when we have time at the house and, you know, at our laptop or with our computers, to be a part of those conversations. And social media is a really great tool to get our message out there, but it's a great way to listen to the conversations and answer those questions and be a part of that. And it can be quite a bit of fun along the way. And in agriculture, it's really easy to take advantage of social media by sharing imagery. You know, we have some great imagery in landscapes on farms and ranches across the country, especially, you know, in the heartland. And Oklahoma's got some beautiful scenery as well.
And, it's green right now.
It's green, exactly. but being able to, you know, put the stories with those images, put the stories with those scenes, feeding those cattle, harvesting the crops at any time of year, you know, just being able to depict our story in those images is a great way to utilize social media and get that message out there.
Very good. Great.